Minister of COGTA. Welcome. We want to have an early day today because, comrades, we will not have ESCOM in the afternoon because of the industrial challenges that are there. I did not accept that junior officials be sent. We wanted the decision makers and the people in charge to come. So, Comrade Minister, if you balance us right, we want to be early and to start with our holidays from today. Because this is our last meeting. So if we're going to be here any longer, it is you and your team. Otherwise, from this side, we want an early day in the office. Right, so what we'll do, Comrade Minister, just by way of starting, will be to request you and your delegation to introduce yourselves so we know who is here. And for members of parliament to introduce themselves so that as we interact from your side, you know who you are engaging with. First, let me make a request again that let us switch our cellular phones off. Let us switch our cellular phones off for the duration of this meeting. When we're done, you can go back to your phone. Otherwise, it disturbs the recording. Even if it's on silent, it affects the recording. So please, just keep your cellular phone off. Having said that, I'll hand over to you, Comrade Minister, and your delegation to introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of SCOPA. I'm just interested in your comments. I thought that calling us back here today meant that this committee is not interested in going to holiday. And so, We are here as requested, but I want to indicate that I have apologies from the ministers, the colleagues who are in the interministerial task team. I was explaining to some of the members that it's always difficult to try and align programs to get all the ministers to be in one place. Sometimes you even struggle in cabinet committees because of the demands of our responsibilities. And so what would help in future is to, if we have this meeting during the time when the sessions are running, it's easy to catch as many of them. Generally, what we try and do for interministerial task team, we hold them when we're here because everyone is bound to be here. But as you all know, it's never possible to get all the ministers here at the same time because of the demands of their responsibilities. So I want to tender the apologies on their behalf and still indeed indicate that we are here representing the interministerial task team and I as its chairperson. Even the deputy ministers of COGTA are spread all over representing us in different places, but in fact if I wasn't in this committee meeting, I'd be appearing at NCOP exactly at the same time to deal with the issues coming from the Northwest. We had to apologize this side to come this side. It could have been either way. So I think the demands do pull us quite apart. So that was just by way of indicating our apologies. I'll not be able to introduce the whole team, but let me just highlight a few of the people that one can mention.
No, I think it's complete. That's fine. From yourself, let everybody introduce themselves.
Oh, okay. That's fine by you. You want me to, at this point, just wait for the team to introduce themselves?
Yeah, introduce yourself. Probably I'm the only one who know you.
Yes, my name is Relim Khize. I'm the Minister for Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. I'm here in my capacity as the chairperson of the interministerial task team on the issues of the debt that faces the state-owned entities, ESCOM and other water boards, together with the municipalities. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, honorable minister and colleagues. My name is Ntandazo Vimba. I'm the CEO of MISA.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Daniel Plaikis. Today I'm the chairperson of the panel on electricity rectification distribution that supports the interministerial system.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Khumutso Letsatsi. I'm a member of the advisory panel.
Good morning, Chair and the honorable members and the minister as well. My name is Sicelo Tulu. I'm also a member of the panel advising the IMTT on the SDA matter.
Morning, Chair, honorable members, as well as the minister. My name is Landiwe Mahlangu. I'm also a member of the advisory panel supporting IMTT. Thank you.
Morning, Chair, members. Morning, Minister. My name is Mahola Makololo. I'm the acting DG from the DP.
Morning, Chair, members of Parliament and the Minister. My name is Nhlanhla Ngidi. I'm head of electricity and energy at SAOGA.
Good morning, Chair, the Minister and the members of the committee. My name is Sandile Maphumulo. I'm with the SAOGA delegation.
Morning, Chair. My name is Monsani Murati from NERSA.
Morning, Chair and Minister. My name is Tepa Ramkoka and I'm also from NERSA.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Bruno.
Just talk into the mic.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Rufus Nchabeni from COPTA.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Nombini from ESCOM.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, honorable minister. My name is Mapelo Mbunaga from ESCOM.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Paul Nau. I'm with the Water Trading Entity.
Good morning, Chair and the Honourable Committee. My name is Ntokozo Simpofu from the Department of Energy.
Good morning, Chair, Minister and Honourable Members. I'm Tobile Mbasa from Public Enterprises.
Morning, Chair, Minister and panel members. I'm Ty Smaller from ESCOM and apologies from our principals for not being here. I think same reason that they're not here for this afternoon's session.
Morning, Chair and members of the SCOPA team. My name is Putuman Leke from Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Minister, my name is Sadesh Ramjathan from National Treasury.
Good morning, Lakela Kaunda, Chief Operations Officer, COPTA.
Morning, Chair, my name and Minister. My name is Nkosi Njani Spielman, Executive Mayor of Machabeni, invited by Minister.
Chair, my name is Bekumzi Charles Tofile, working with President Parks Tau in this committee, and I'm the member of the SAOGA National Executive.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, Honorable Members. My name is Tobani. My surname is Mateza. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer in the Ministry of COPTA.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Lerato Twane from the Department of Cooperative Governance.
Right. Thanks, comrades. We introduce ourselves.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Tim Bradisett, proud member of SCOPA and like the good doctor. Very happy to be representing the great province of KwaZulu-Natal. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Minister.
Hello, I'm Nyame Jiripuwe from the SCOPO Committee.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Minister. Ntabise Nkuno is my name. Thanks, Member of SCOPO.
Morning, Chair, Minister, and everybody. My name is Saki Keka. I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson, Minister, and colleagues. My name is David Ross, representing SCOPO in the committee.
Thank you very much. I'm Comrade Temba Koti. I chair the committee. Right. Comrade Minister, we want to appreciate you and your team making time to be here. We know that there are demands on all sides, but Parliament is also part of the demand side. This meeting is very important, and to us as a committee, it is actually a culmination of a journey of engagement that we've had. People recall that we were the first to engage ESCOM on the Tegeta issue, looking at the PwC report. And in the course of our engagement, we sought to on the risks to their balance sheet. And the issue of municipalities not paying them came up. And we have, I think, subsequently had three meetings with ESCOM. The last one included National Treasury, COCTA, and SALGA. After which we decided that it is only correct for us to meet with the municipalities, but since we can't meet all of them, we said, well, let's take 10, which we did yesterday, to hear from them, having had ESCOM on a number of occasions, having had COCTA, National Treasury. It was only fair for us as a committee to hear from the municipalities so that we can say we've heard from all sides. But ultimately, it was today's meeting that we felt was critical, because in all the engagement, we realized that this matter has been there, and it's like the debt keeps on growing, it's not going down. And we felt, well, we need to engage the political leadership so that we can take political decisions that will be binding on the officials to go and implement. Without being empiricists, that's how we managed to sort out the SASA post office issue. When we got the IMCC, say, let's take decisions at a political level. And once those were taken, the officials were able now to go and work out the implementation. And so we also felt that leaving ESCOM and the municipalities to themselves, all will have will be acrimony, court cases, and a whole range of things that are totally unnecessary. And it was therefore important for us to engage with yourselves, firstly to get a sense of where you are at, but also to make you appreciate what Parliament thinks on these matters. We have met ESCOM, we have heard ESCOM's cry and complain about municipalities that commit and do not fulfill or do not commit at all. We met with the municipalities yesterday for the whole day. The whole day. And we have had them. They have raised their issues. Almost all the 10 municipalities that were here, you could pick up a thread, a number of issues that were consistent throughout. Some of which will actually require your directive in terms of what you think should happen so that this is resolved. We want a functional ESCOM that does not come to Parliament for bailouts.
We need functional and viable municipalities that are able to pay their creditors, especially, well, let me not say especially, all their creditors, whether state-owned entities or private individuals, they need to be paid. Whatever problems are there for both of them, they need to be resolved. So, I'll hand over to you, Comrade Minister, and you will tell us how you packaged. We first want to hear. You know, in Skopo, we don't do that. We don't listen to people telling us or talking to us. We know what we want. But this time, we're going to listen to you, to hear you talk to us and tell us that this is where we are at, this is what we've done. And I think if you've put it very, very well, there may be no question. Just walk out and start our holidays today. But if there are a few issues that may need clarity, I'm sure we can be able to entertain them. But I'll hand over to you, Comrade. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. I must count ourselves and our team lucky that SCOPA is approaching this matter differently. You want to listen to us. We appreciate that. Let me say that I've been in this department now for 3 months or plus minus. This is one of the issues that was brought to my attention immediately on my arrival. I think all of us, as Chairperson indicates, are very concerned about the issue of the debt, both to ESCOM and to the Water Board. In particular, I think we must indicate that our approach as COCTA and the IMTT is based not only in the on the responsibility we have over the municipalities, but the Presidential Coordinating Committee was given a report that ESCOM had taken a number of municipalities to court and that they had a very unmanageable debt and they were very concerned about it. And so the Presidential Coordinating Committee felt that this matter needed to be handled in-house because both ESCOM and municipalities are very important institutions in the governance of our country as well as the delivery of services to our people at different levels of communities. Now, because of that, we have approached this matter as MTT as our own problem. It's not ESCOM problem, it's not municipalities problem, it's not SAUGA problem, it's a government problem. And it's a serious government problem because it's basically a misalignment between aspects of government that are essential in service delivery and in particular the supply of energy. Now, on the one side, I think when we look at ESCOM, we realize that ESCOM has got a huge exposure in terms of over 350 billion rands in debt that needs to be serviced continuously. And it's important for us as government to always keep ESCOM as a reliable institution that foreign investors and financial institutions would respect its creditworthiness and will always ensure that they extend credit lines to ESCOM and support it as it goes about its activities. And on that basis, we actually understand the sensitivity with which ESCOM has had to start moving on this matter, in particular when they have to end up in court to take decisions to try and intervene on the debt in the absence of any other solution. So we understood that it's not any entity would be finding itself in that kind of situation. On the other hand, we also understand that there are various challenges that are faced by municipalities. We've also looked at the level of the debt, and when we analyze the figures, we have seen that the at the moment, the figure by December was around 23 billion. 7.4 was to the Water Board, and 16 billion was to the ESCOM. Of course, the figure varies a little bit, I think 1.5 billion down because of some of the collections, but nevertheless we use that figure just to give a sense of guide of where the issues are. And having looked at the at that kind of debt, we looked and found that 70% of the debt comes from 10 municipalities who you met yesterday, and we have had the occasion to consult with those municipalities. And 40% of that debt comes from municipalities in the Free State, I think the top of which was Maluti Apofung. And when you look at Maluti Apofung, you realize that it's actually no longer just an issue of ESCOM. There's a whole matter around governance, and as a result, you would have seen that provincial government has stepped in Section 139 to intervene in that municipality, meaning that ESCOM debt was part of a whole area of problems with administration that needed further support and action and intervention. So the nature of the debt as well indicates to us that ESCOM has committed to discontinuing some services in some area. Now that affected some of the industries, and I've met some of them, such as Nestle and others, who were saying they had to go to court because they have paid the municipality, but the municipality has not been able to pay the requisite amount to ESCOM, and therefore they got interrupted. And as I think all of us know, the courts have ultimately created an interim order direct collection by ESCOM, which we don't think is the solution, but I think from the point of view of the court, that's the only way they could deal with it. Then we go into the municipalities, and we have looked at them, and in general terms, municipalities are struggling. We've looked at municipalities and found that there are many municipalities who by design are structurally non-viable in the sense that they don't have any source of revenue. So you have this particular problem. And then in other areas, for various reasons, they are struggling with revenue, and we've actually decided from COCTA was stepping in with the various intervention mechanisms to deal with the issues of governance. I heard yesterday the committee was concerned about bloated municipalities. We've got an approach to deal with those. We've got the issues of ensuring good quality, qualified technical people in there to deal with governance, to deal with financial management, to deal with infrastructure delivery. There are teams that we are going to be dispatching out already. Some of them are on the way to help in the different areas and intervene to try and help the municipalities, bring them back to be able to be viable and raise their own revenue in particular so that they are able to as we move on. And I think that when we talk about ESCOM and Water Board, they're not the only ones who are owed by municipalities. There's a whole lot of others who are quiet, smaller, or private sector players who have their own issues with the municipality. But we went into the issue of the debts to the municipalities, and we found that in a number of instances, there's a general problem of municipalities have got their own problems. On the one side, there's an issue of non-payment. We will be taking this matter to the Presidential Coordinating Committee about the debt owed to municipalities. In my calculation, in terms of the figures that we've been given, the figure comes to close to 139 billion owed to all municipalities and collectively. And it's broken into three areas. There are communities who owe municipalities for various services, there are private sector who owe, and there are government departments who owe. For various reasons, we can give you a breakdown, and I was told that the team did share the slide, which will actually appear on the slides that we will be showing again, so that you can have a sense. Now, we want to talk to premiers and ministers to say there must be a way we deal with this issue, in particular government department that owe municipalities. So when we go into the municipalities, you then find that amongst the loads that the municipalities are going through is this issue of the non-payment, which you'll see a little bit more elaboration as we go into this thing. Now, on the other hand, the sources of municipality revenue, top of the range is electricity, which I think is probably about 50-60%, and then water, and then other services, rates, and then other sanitation, etc., would be smaller amounts, which means now we have to find a way of being able to maintain and protect those revenue sources of the municipalities through the sale of services. Now, where the matter gets complicated is the fact that there's a conflicting issue of mandates. Now, on the Constitution, the municipal services will include distribution of electricity, and on the electrification bill, ESCOM has got the mandate to distribute. Now, I think that because of the introduction of the wall-to-wall municipalities, that has compounded the space, makes it difficult now to know who's collecting where. So when the two of them have to collect, you start picking up disparities, which also complicate the process of managing this issue. Now, we've sat with NERSA, and NERSA has said, look, we have either ESCOM or municipalities can approach the NERSA for distribution, for licensing, and but there's not been a clear delineation of areas and even criteria on which the two are actually given the licensing to collect. And this has created a space that when people are not paying, when the municipalities are not paying sufficiently, ESCOM has approached some of the of the clients directly. And of course, I think as you would expect, they've tended to target the ones that are well-to-do, which the municipalities are also relying upon. And so the tension has arisen. And the SALGA has raised the issue to say, well, the mandate is for the municipalities. But in terms of the Electrification Bill Act, the ESCOM says we're not pirating here, we're basically doing our mandate as well. But I think the evolution of municipalities wall to wall has actually complicated the space where we need to sort out the mandate. It's a political issue as far as I'm concerned. We need to just redefine to say, okay, this is how the two must relate. Now we need to get to a point where there's an understanding between the municipalities and ESCOM as to how they will interact when it comes to the ground. Because the municipalities must have their revenue, but the municipalities must pay to ESCOM. But at the same time, ESCOM has got areas where it is running. Some municipalities don't have such capacity that they would have run the services themselves. But in some instances, it's causing a lot of injustice because in the same municipality, ESCOM will be billing on the one side and then municipalities are billing on the other. Because of the variation in the rates, you'll end up with some of the residents subsidizing the other side, and the difficulty for municipalities to bill in the area where ESCOM is in charge creates an imbalance, which is for me an injustice that can't be allowed, because in some instances these are very rich industries that can afford. So we need to clean those issues out, as it were. So with all of these issues being put together, we have also got a bit of a concern about the billing system of ESCOM, the way that they deal with their, firstly, the notified maximum what? Demand, right? Maximum demand. That limit is fine when you're managing a utility like ESCOM. The only problem is when they put penalties for those who transgress on that. And you know, one transgression will end you several months, 6 or 12 months, I can't recall, of penalties for that transgression. And we think that is not correct. It's something that needs to be rediscussed with ESCOM, and so that they refocus on how they deal with it. The other issue is that we have set some of the municipalities, I must break it down, let us see how much is the capital debt and how much is the interest. And one that presented to you yesterday was Emalahleni, that did it more clearly for us, was in a bill of 1.7 billion, 417 is interest. Now, for a municipality that cannot afford, I think you need to sit down and look at how we deal with that situation. So the rest is VAT and so on. So in effect, SALGA has been quite vocal in saying a lot of the debt is no longer the primary debt in terms of the services rendered, but it's more compounding interest and penalties that would have come up. So in a case of a complex debt like that, you'd need someone to sit down and analyze that. How do you get around? So where are we as IMTT? The IMTT has set up a team of an advisory panel that will analyze all these issues as they get tabled to us. We will ask them to present to SCOPA. But we have not come to a point where we have reached a conclusion from the point of view of the interministerial task team. There's work that has been done, so they've got an interim report from the team. Clearly, we need to give them a little bit of time so that they can analyze the issues further and come back with concrete proposals. So between us now, we've been persuading ESCOM and municipalities to come closer together. In the one instance, we're trying to encourage ESCOM not to discontinue services because it does complicate issues. I've said with the business leadership of South Africa, PNSA, BUSA, they raise these issues quite seriously. And we've said, look, we need everyone to come on board and assist us to try and resolve this. And so we've been asking ESCOM to consider that. We've also been asking the municipalities to say, look, whilst we're really dealing with the middle, please pay as much as you can so that you can move closer to a middle line. So there are a few things that we've said that this team must refine. In terms of the solution at the end that we must be able to have, it must have a number of issues. The first of those issues, the team must be able to help us work through the issue of the constitutional and legal mandate. The fact that we have got these two constitution and electrification bill, electrification act, mean that we need to make a political determination to redefine the mandate of the two. And somewhere along the line, we need to get that analyzed with the inputs from both. Rather than this matter being sorted out by the court, it must be sorted out by government, because government has sent the two to do the services. So we would like the panel to give us advice on that. And it appears to me that some work was already started within NERSA to look at some kind of understanding or agreement between ESCOM and municipalities in terms of how the two will relate when it comes into taking decisions into the future. So I think the licensing issue, the issue of the mandate, might ultimately need to some amendment somewhere. I'm not sure whether it would be, you know, a legislation or constitution, but somewhere there has to be some amendment that will entrench the relationship in law forever, so that we don't have this problem. Because I don't blame either of them for having a conflict. This is a transitional problem of, you know, the mandates overlapping as a result of the development of a democratic dispensation. So that's one issue. The second aspect would relate to NERSA having to have very clear licensing you know, criteria. And those criteria, I don't know what they will be, but the team will come back after consulting and give us something more concrete. Those criteria must take into account the history of where we've come from and how the two have evolved. And they must also take into account the future, because there's going to be further development, undetermined areas where we need to know what must happen, who must take that responsibility. That solution must even solve that part as well. That's the second aspect now of the solution. The third aspect must also deal with the reviewing the billing system of ESCOM. And I think here we've got probably about three or so aspects. The first aspect relates to the structure of the debt has got capital and interest. And there's been a whole fight about the national notified maximum demand issue and the penalties and how they leave their interest in the process. I think that needs to be looked at. Going forward, you are actually dealing here with municipalities, which are government entities, and so we're basically circulating you know, beyond paying for the service. We are beginning to levy within institutions that have got diverse responsibilities. So I think we need to think about that carefully, and we must sit down and talk about that. The second aspect has also got to do with the fact that the municipalities are in a debt trap now. Those that you saw last week, although not all the municipalities owe ESCOM, those that you saw yesterday, I can't see how they can ever get out of debt as it stands. It's just virtually impossible. You can accuse them of having, you know, poor administration. You can accuse them of not collecting properly and so on. But as the debt stands, it's not possible for them to get out. It needs to be restructured. Now, restructuring will need to be advised. I think that we have to take into account a number of principles. For example, prescription of debt. And if in the first instance that there's a lot of compounding interest in it, and also you have to think about other issues. I don't know how well they will apply in Duplum principles. You have to take into account you know, all of those principles which the team must analyze and come back to us and say, this is what we think. And so in restructuring the debt, that's the other one. The third one also deals with the issue of the collection efficiency.
Now, all the municipalities demonstrated to us, and I'm sure they would have done that, we'll show in some of the slides, that the conventional metering has got its own problem. Most of the areas, you can see there's a whole lot of bypass where, you know, people will have, we call it zinyoga, where people will just go to one pole, and then doesn't matter who's connected, they'll also share in the electricity, and that's it. And you cannot hold responsible the one whose line they are tapping from, because they didn't give permission, whether they disconnect or not. I think there are people who have got their own line of how they behave, and they earn a living in doing that. So you just need a different way of dealing with that. Because of the illegal connections and the fact that over the, you know, the years, the demands for electricity, you know, they grow, you know, beyond what has been planned by Eskom as a supplier and municipalities. So you have a serious collection problem. And in this process, I think direct prepaid has shown that it's doing better than the conventional meters. So we need to look at that. Is that the way to go? How do we deal with that? And we have actually been saying, is there a role for third-party collectors that are going to assist in the process? And how to deal with that and avoid what I had, is coming up in some of the municipalities. I think it's over here where they talk about ghost vendors. How do you eliminate that in the system, but ensure that your system of collection allows municipalities to get some consistent revenue, that the ESCOM gets a consistent revenue, and we can restructure the debt over a long term and ultimately get ESCOM out of problems? Because I think it's our responsibility to do that. So when you restructure that bill, we have to look at all those issues. Now this team is going to get us those kinds of issues out of the way. So then, of course, the last one is a big issue about the culture of payment. We have to actually embark as government on a huge campaign on a culture of payment. Culture of payment by government, by private sector, by communities, but also ensuring that our systems that we put into place improves the efficiency of distribution and collection, and that we separate the tensions between the various municipalities and the utilities, so that the services can continue to be rendered in a way that revenue is assured. We do not want to have a situation where all the well-paying clients must end up with ESCOM directly and the municipalities are out of it. But we cannot also agree that the municipalities can get the benefit of the services and get the benefit of the revenue and not pass it to ESCOM. So we need to actually intervene right across on that. Now the SCOPA has caught us in the middle of the process. I'm very optimistic that we'll get through to this point. I'm saying this because in the last MTT, of course, the attitudes, you know, initially I think the attitude was a bit of a standoff between the different parties. Right now the attitudes are a bit different. Everybody's understanding that they are working within a leadership of government, find a government solution, and everyone must comply and cooperate. So the Minister of State-Owned Enterprises has indicated that they want to sit down with ESCOM to look at various concessions, and there are a few that they've indicated, like waiving the interest, etc. It's a bit too clustered right now, but they are indicating willingness as ESCOM to move forward. We've said with the municipalities, they've demonstrated to us that, look, they need support from COCTA, they need support from Treasury, but they also need support in building systems to be able to take this matter forward. And in the process of doing so, they are very keen to be assisted. And I mean, the mayors that were here, all of them, mayors, municipal managers, and even some cases, MBCs, are saying, look, give us the package, we'll go and implement it. So everyone is willing to assist. But I think we got caught up in a situation, this matter crept without much attention, and it's gone to a point where it's become a bit of a monstrosity that we must actually sit down and dismantle together. So my approach, therefore, would be that in the next few weeks we'll get this report, and then AMTT will actually be able to come back once we've got a solution and then table it to you. So this is how we see it. It's going to take a while. Some of the things will be done quickly, others will take a longer process, but that's where we are. I have a team here that can just take us through the issues as they've got slides, and then I've got the panel to also give you a sense as to where we are. But as I said, we're in the middle of a process, but Chairperson and members of SCOPA, I want to say that from the enthusiasm and the commitment of those ministers who are my colleagues in this matter, I'm quite convinced that all of us are determined to get the solution. And I think from the point of view, you'll have had the representation here. Literally every aspect of IMTT is represented here. All the departments are here, even if the ministers aren't here. This report from here will be tabled to them in the next week or two when we table the matter. So we are happy to share with you where we are, but we're also saying that we're very optimistic that we'll resolve this matter. With your permission, I've got two presentations, and I hope we will do justice and not take too much of your holiday time. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, Comrade Minister. I'm not sure, but maybe I could allow your team. I was just looking at the presentation outline, and I realized that you seem to have touched almost everything that is here. So, I'm not sure.
I'm sorry, Chairperson. We came here prepared to give you as much information. So it's up to SCOPA what information they need. We can take questions straight away. We can go through presentations. We can go to as much detail as you want. We've got all the information, so we are in your hands. If you want to start questions now, we can deal with it. If you want us to present, we'll present. If you want only one team to present, one team will present. We're in your hands, but we're just ready because you have heard enough about this, and we needed to give you this perspective from the political leadership point of view. If that's enough for you, we're fine. We will not insist on presentations, but we're ready. Thank you.
All right.
Let's thank the minister for the presentation, but also given that we've been demanding this type of progress, let's take the full presentation, Chair, both of them. Because we are from today onwards, we are going to go on holiday, won't be able to explain to our constituencies the nature of what has been done. And we did promise those municipalities that we were able to come back today. Give us the presentation, Chair.
All right. Yeah.
Chair, I partially agree with my honourable boy. Can I just ask that from the time I became a public rep, we know how to read. So please don't read through every single line, everything. Just go pointedly through the presentation, highlight the most important points, Chair. Otherwise, we can spend the whole morning just on the presentation. Thank you.
That we need is the part that the minister and the team
is waiting on. Now, maybe what we then need to agree on is let's allow the process that is to be completed by the team and then engage, that is, on those issues. That would be my view.
Yeah, no, comrades. There are two presentations. It is this one, which the minister summarized. Then there is also a presentation by the advisory panel, right? To which, well, I don't know whether the minister spoke to their issues, but what the minister spoke to in large measure is this one. Now, I would say let us allow the team to present, but in the context of let's not go through every sentence, but just to make sure. Well, maybe there might be other issues or areas within the report that they may want to emphasize. And then once they've done that, then we'll get the advisory panel to also talk to us. Comrade Minister, you had your hand up.
No, I think we have made a ruling. I'll leave it at that. My point would have been that of the issues that I have raised in the summary form, it encompasses both teams. This team gives you the base study, the effects as you might have known them, with a little bit of additions here and there. The other team deals with the same issues, but is now beginning to zoom into some of the action lines as to which way we should be going to. So we are free. We could ask that they quick summary.
Let them talk. We want to hear them. The other presentation, they are making copies for comrades.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to be very swift because Minister has covered the issues as we have said. So we've got the outline, which gives what's in the presentation. And really, as a matter of background, is the tension that is between municipalities and EFCOM, which we have presented in terms of their roles and the mandates that have been created by the wall-to-wall municipalities. So the IMTT was then established to deal with these matters, and it is constituted by the members on slide 5, which is all the ministers of the departments of water, finance, energy, public enterprises, as well as the chairperson of SALVA and chairperson of ESCOM. There was the issue of going to PCC, where it was agreed that this must be a matter that is to be solved by government, and a policy direction must be provided at that level instead of us taking each other to court. At the moment, the legislative framework, chairperson, that is a point of contention on the constitutional matter, is just basically about that authority of municipalities, rather authority of a municipal council to regulate the issues relating to the services that they're providing, and specifically in this context, the services of electricity, and the fact that now, because the function is sitting on two institutions, municipalities are almost feeling like their authority is being undermined for those areas that they cannot articulate in. Chairperson, I think municipalities were very clear yesterday about how they are concerned about issues such as the inability to charge their charges in the areas where EFCOM is articulating, which is basically crippling their revenue base because of the fact that where they can't charge their charges, they still have to provide those services that are non-trading services. And as a result, they feel that this is actually one of the things that are impacting on their financial situation, which is leading to the fact that which is basically adding to the inability to pay. So, Jefferson, on the other hand, though, ESCOM's view is different, and ESCOM's view is that there is a constitutional authority to municipalities. However, there is no exclusivity to it. So it can belong to municipality, but it can be a shared authority, and they've got rightfully their right, according to the laws of the land as well, which is based on the Electricity Regulation Act. So on the constitutional matter, the panel was established so that you can look at this, and the panel said they have seen SALVA and ESCOM, and they have then gone and looked at other parties within government that are also having an influence, or rather an interest in the matter, that they could get more information from them. So they've seen the National Energy Regulator, the Department of Energy, the National Treasury, the Department of Public Enterprises, they've seen the Fiscal Commission as well as the Municipal Demarcation Board. And on slide 12 to 15 is just really the two positions. 12, 13 is the local government position as represented to SALGA, which is fundamentally really emphasizing their executive authority, and that to say that by law they feel that there is no ambiguity according to their point of view. And then the next slide, 15, is really just talking about the ESCOM position, which is contradicting that and saying that, well, we also have a valid authority that is also based on law. Chairperson, when the IMTT looks at this, that they don't only look at the constitutional matter, they also have been looking at other structural and other systemic issues that arise and that have created problems. So if I can just give an update. So these are different work streams that are reporting to the IMTT on a regular basis in terms of progress in this regard. So there's an issue of structural issue of public lighting, where there's a tension as well between municipalities and ESCOM, where municipalities are saying that public lighting should be seen as a package of the electrification instead of being looked at as a separate matter. And when it comes to the areas where ESCOM is supplying electricity, so ESCOM still bills municipality because they see public lighting now as a municipal function. So there's tensions there because now they can distribute, but at the same time they don't want to pay for them. There's also just tensions that are related to administrative issues as to when municipalities are asking for an area to be electrified and ESCOM is not necessarily ready at that point to put that infrastructure in place, etc., etc. So the public lighting is an issue. And this issue has been identified as a matter of the Department of Energy's policy. And there is a policy currently underway and which will then look at this and give a policy direction, because currently there's almost a policy gap that is not explicit in any of the current laws or dysfunction. So they're working on a policy which will be finalized in April 2018. So they report regularly to the IMTT so that they can also be appraised about the progress in this matter. The next area is of a structural issue is the areas of supply. The areas of supply...
Don't run too fast, but continue running.
Okay, thank you. So I am on slide 19 now, on the areas of supply. 19. Okay. May I proceed?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the areas of supply, I think Minister has spoken about this in terms of the fact that there is tension about the fact that some areas are more lucrative than others as far as the profitability of the electricity, depending on the economic activity in that area. And now when the one area is falling under this service provider and the other one is under that service provider, there will always be that tension to say, we could be making more money. Yesterday, municipalities, especially in the mining sector, were very clear about how they would really, really like to take some of those areas that have got mines, because they believe that there's a lot of revenue that they can make, especially in surcharges. So that is basically the distribution of licenses. So there's a work stream where NERSA is also working on the issues of areas of supply. Unfortunately, when the World War Municipalities came to be, there was never a mapping of all these areas to say that, okay, this area within this municipality belongs to that. And the issue was further complicated by the fact that there were the redemarcations of municipalities. So you'd find that the areas of supply would be falling under two municipalities at some point, but it's still one area according to the boundaries, etc., of that have been given on the licenses. So NERSA has begun a process, which is the GIS mapping process, to do this work. And the update is on slide 20, where they show that out of 165 licenses that they've given, they have gone and verified. They've done all the work in Northern Cape. In Free State, they've begun doing some work. And then in other provinces, they've only looked at those municipalities where there has been a redemarcation or the amalgamations. So that is work in progress, and they report regularly in terms of trying to conclude this work, because it's very, very important also to be on the work of the panel to be able to have a view and see what. I'm now going to go to the systemic challenges that have been identified and that are also before the panel. So the systemic challenges are really mainly linked to the constitutional matter, because they relate to those issues of not being able to use electricity as a credit control mechanism. They relate to the tariffs that are not equal between the across the street. You find different tariffs to the other area. They relate to notified maximum of demand, the reconciliation of debt, as well as the historical debt, etc. So these, as Minister has gone into detail, so I will not give a lot of detail on this one. Chairperson, Eskom has made concessions. After all these deliberations that the entity has had, Eskom has made certain concessions to actually make it a little bit better. I know that municipalities yesterday were still reporting about the pain of having to pay interest after 15 days and the fact that they are being charged prime plus 5%. This has changed. So from July 2017, Eskom is only charging interest to municipalities after 30 days, not 15. The only municipalities that have still not gotten that concession are Metros, because of the cash flow negotiations that Eskom has had to have with Metros because of affordability. But the interest is also charged now at prime plus 2.5%, which is still high, but at least they have managed to reduce it to that point. The tariffs of municipalities were quite complicated. This is now the tariffs of buying the bulk for municipalities to from Eskom. There were 11 tariffs that sometimes were hard to understand which tariff belongs to where. So there was a need that the IMTG identified to rationalize those tariffs and then minimize them to about 3 tariffs which are clearly understandable. This is being implemented and Eskom has agreed to that. So I'm just giving on the highlighted area that the MDD discussed those concessions, and the implementation is still not 100% because of the fact that the metros are still left behind, and also IMDD is very concerned about the fact that the interest is compounded. It's not charged on the capital. On the notified maximum demand, Chairperson, the NERSA was brought on board by the IMDD, and NERSA, because they are the ones that actually give those parameters for the notified maximum demand. And really the issue here is, if you default, so you get given a certain amount of electricity in terms of the bulk that you're going to use in your area, and that is your demand that you have agreed to, and you pay money to be able to maintain that level. And once you exceed it, then you then get penalized. But the problem with the current formula and model is that if you exceed it for 2 months in a financial year, they charge you the penalty for the entire financial year, which is of concern. The other issue relating to this is really for the support that you're providing for the municipalities to also just look at these notified maximum demand, because this is the one extreme side on the right-hand side where municipalities are exceeding and they are being charged penalties. But they are being charged also for availability. So some municipalities find that they are using less and they are paying for more availability, which they could be saving that money. So when we look at it with the National Treasury, we look at both sides, we look at what is the usage, whether it's over and under, so that we can then begin to renegotiate that those parameters are. The municipalities are basically having a notified demand that is at the level of their usage, more or less. It's not too big or it's not too little. NERSA is taken through their current review of the model for the July 2018. They are looking at reviewing specifically this issue of charging penalties over 12 months, and that is currently under public participation, and they hopefully that when we start the new year, the new financial year of the MFMA, we will not have the situation going forward. There is a reconciliation of accounts. Ministers in terms of what would constitute interest and what would constitute penalties and how these can then they need to be disaggregated. ESCOM will give a more detailed presentation on this in the next IMCT so that they can begin to make those decisions. Slide 27 just shows the ESCOM debt that has been growing, basically showing that we are obviously in a period of being concerned, which is legitimate. And slide 28 just gives you the 10 municipalities that you saw yesterday and what their debt was. 29 is the interest portion of it, because MCT had requested ESCOM to present how much interest has been charged to these municipalities. And as you can see, it's quite a significant amount, because from April 2017 to March 2018, only on the 10 municipalities have got that 1 billion that has been charged only on interest. So those numbers that you see are interest. So that 1035 is the top 10, and then the rest of the municipalities is then you're looking at 4 billion, and then that's the total. So it's quite steep, the interest portion of these amounts, which then legitimizes the case of really looking at reviewing this debt. Slide 30 is just an example of a monthly bill, Chairperson. You see that we have said that even though we have gone through a process of renegotiating these payment agreements with municipalities, municipalities are still not necessarily adhering, and they are still sometimes falling behind with these. And you can see the trend is not very good on this municipality, because look at what they are billing and then what they are collecting, and every time they are collecting less than what they are billing, that creates that gap on the current, let alone the debt that they still need to catch up with. So they keep getting deeper and deeper into the debt. So it's almost the debt trap that the minister was speaking about. The concern is obviously on the litigation issues that are coming to the fore now, and they are almost becoming endemic. And this is just showing that in the 10 municipalities that we saw yesterday, there's almost there is 7 of them that are sitting with interdicts, and those are further complicating the collection, and they are also creating a certain precedence that is not desirable in terms of getting this point to a resolution. In terms of the challenges facing municipalities, in your opening remarks, Chairperson, you did allude to the fact that there were a lot of commonalities in terms of the challenges that the municipalities have said. And when the minister also met with the municipalities, and as a technical IMTT, we've been to these municipalities to help them. We are picking up those common issues: the culture of non-payment, the aging infrastructure, the maintenance and refurbishment of the infrastructure backlog, the unfunded budget, where they are budgeting for income that is not received yet, and then it's below what they actually recover, and the operational expenditure is also quite high, the low collection rate, and the high vacancies and the skills issue, the qualifications that we discussed yesterday as well. The tariffs that they are charging for electricity are not cost reflective, because it's a trading service. You would need to be very meticulous in working out how much is it costing you to provide this service, and then use that information for your pricing. So over the years, because the electricity has been so lucrative in terms of the profit margins, municipalities have almost just increased it with your CPI. And then they've never looked at, but what is the cost of me providing this? And that you need to factor in your infrastructure, your maintenance, and those things. So because of that, the time has caught on with them, and this is why also we are falling behind on the maintenance, because these tariffs are just basically there. And so when we've gone to assist them as well with trying to look at what is the cost and what is the tariffs, you find that the gap is so wide. And obviously the municipal systems access that when they're approving their tariffs, they need to look at the affordability of the citizens. So there's almost a trap there as well, because you can't exactly increase it at the level that you would need to catch up with the cost of providing the service. So you need to almost incrementally and gradually factor those things in to get to that point, which will take time. There's revenue foregone, we've seen as a point that they're raising quite sharply yesterday, and the inability to use credit control and illegal collections, and as well as the illegal lending that is coming. So we've had a couple of interventions through our Back to Basics to support municipalities, and in addition to this, the there's also these work streams that we have that are driven by the AMTC that COPTA leads, where we go to municipalities. And really, as much as we have renegotiated, and at this point in time, everybody in the room that represent the entities represented the AMTC went with us. We sat with ESCOM, with treasurers. We really looked at the numbers and we tried to get a middle ground where there is a level of affordability, because there was that cry before that we signed these agreements because we are, ESCOM is going to disconnect. And ESCOM has tried to also be on the listening side, and we signed them and we think we are all comfortable and happy, but for some reason then we end up having them defaulting. So out of the 55 that we saw in February, only about 32% were able to adhere to them, to the T. So that is a concern as well. That is just showing that this is not going
well. Why do you say you met 55 and then on the compliance side you give a percentage? Why didn't you just give a number and say 70, 50? That would be much easier.
Point taken, Jim. So we've also established the capacity to respond to the tariffs issue. So we are helping them to look at the issues and also to help them take the process through to NERSA, because once you've reviewed your tariff, you still need to get those permissions from NERSA to be able to apply those. And as I said, you obviously have to increase them with the consciousness of not putting too much increase on the citizens. We continue to monitor the payment agreements, and we've got our support programs, which is a simplified revenue plan. We will be helping them with their entire revenue cycle to look at gaps and try and get some data purified and reduce their debt and protect and enhance their revenue. We have spoken about the fact that there's a lack of skills. And because of the lack of skills within the basic back to basics program as well, there is a project where we're developing a prototype of organograms. And in this regard, it's just organograms that are going to be able to guide different sizes of municipalities on what an organogram is going to look like. The committee yesterday raised concerns about the bloated personnel bills and all that. So this is starting to create structure there so that municipalities could have a guideline, and they know that if we have got this size and these circumstances, we're going to then fall into this category, and this is the prototype. So that project is work in progress. It will be completed between July and August this year, and municipalities will then be expected to implement it. The aim is really to create structure and to create something to measure them against, and to be able to allow us to do the oversight in that regard. We've also developed the regulations of senior managers in terms of also assessing the competences that we require at each level, and those are being implemented. And then the really is just to get the local government personnel professionalized and so that we could have points of references to do our work. Debt owed to government departments is something also on the radar of the IMTT. It also is going to be reported to the PCC, as the minister has reported. The concern is basically the culture of payment that is starting at government level, at intergovernmental level rather. 7.9 billion, which constitute 5% of the total debtors book. And if you look at that, 4 billion is coming from provinces, with obviously the provincial Department of Public Works having the bigger share because of their mandate, and then the other national departments 3.2, and then the other state entities and inter-municipal debt about 800,000. The breakdown is on slide 41, Chairperson. I won't go into it in terms of which departments are owing all the way.
Well, maybe that's exactly where it's going.
So these are the departments that are owing, and the actual aging on that slide. So it's got agriculture and forestry, arts and culture, basic education, communication, cooperative governance, correctional services, defense and military, veterans, economic development, energy, environmental affairs, health, higher education, and so on. And on the far right, those are the amounts that they're owing.
Just highlight the top 10, just like we did with the municipality.
On a quick scan, Chairperson, you'll see that it's the public works with that 2.8 on the national side, as the highest one, and then you will have agriculture, basic education on 67, then you'll have defense and military veterans also quite high, as well as transport. So those are the highest that you have at that point. Chairperson, it's important to also look at the 0 to 10.
To explain national treasury, because it is a minor.
So that means
they overpaid.
Yes, there's a prepayment. So with regards to property rates, the way they are built, sometimes you find that you have an opportunity to pay your annual rates, and those sometimes it looks like you're on credit because you paid for the year. So it might be a situation like that, but it's a prepayment. The next one is basically the provincial departments, and these are the provincial departments that are open. We have spoken yesterday about all the court cases, and Minister has also spoken about the court cases, so I won't go into that. I just provided one case to provide more detail of it for you to understand what are the issues of the case, and then the others I've just given what the...
Just a minute.
Thanks, Chairperson. On the provincial departments, wouldn't it be better for her to be saying which province this is? Because when you write it like this, you don't know which provincial departments are you talking about. We'll provide the information to her. Okay, so those are...
Sorry, Chair, can we not get an indication now? Do you have the info at your fingertips, just which provinces are, let's say, the top three that owe money if you, I don't know if you have that.
Can I allow the team to go on, they'll pull out as we go, and then we'll make it available as we go.
Thank you, so the MDT is concerned about the court cases. They are concerned about the fact that they are creating precedents and they are making it difficult to pay. They are also concerned about the fact that it's going to cost government a lot of money going through this defending these cases and going through that those court processes. And the National Treasury is leading this process. They will provide a more detailed presentation to the next So, Chairperson, really the recommendation is for you to note the work of the IMTT thus far, and also to note the areas of the structural and systemic challenges and the work in progress that the IMTT is currently championing, and to note that the Department of Property Governance and Traditional Affairs has really taken the matter seriously to say that we need to see the municipalities as playing their active role as well in this process by committing to pay and adhering to those commitments, and they have asked the MECs to closely monitor the adherence to this payment agreement to ensure that end of the bargain is maintained. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Can we, now that we have the copy of the interministerial task team advisory panel, can we also give them an opportunity to talk to us, but don't do like the lady, because we ran through the report. We're still trying to catch our breath, so to speak. But to maybe isolate key areas that you may want to emphasize, since the minister has more or less summarized everything, but don't do want you to talk to us, Professor Black.
Okay. Chair, could I also just request that this report gets emailed to the committee so that we can also receive it on email? I believe it's come from the IMTT this morning. If you could just be sent to us as well.
All right.
A soft copy.
Sent to Mr. Ben, and it will be sent to comrades. Prof, in your hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Minister and honourable members, I'm going to take you to, not through the whole presentation, please just go to a slide, I think it's 21 now, Honourable Members.
So just to confirm that, in addition, my input is basically this: in addition to what the minister has said, and all these points that the minister raised earlier, is definitely on the radar screen and on the action list of the panel to deal with these matters. The reason why I'm taking you to slide 21, which is called Five Substantive Matters of Concern, has got to do with the first point that the minister raised on the constitutional legal question as it relates to electricity articulation and distribution. And the first point I'd like to make on behalf of the panel is that what we need to recognize in this process, there was a historic urgency of electrification access to citizens, in particular those that lived in the historically disadvantaged areas such as the TBCs and self-governing areas at the time. So that historic urgency of electrification access crowded out the importance of the location of the electricity articulation function. So what has essentially happened over time, President Mandela's cabinet made a decision to roll out electrification to all areas. And as a result, that exclusivity of the function got systematically liquidated. The point I'm making, while the Constitution stated that that's the responsibility of municipalities, the urgency at the time and to create access to our citizens in 94, 95, quick access, Eskom was given the task. And as a result, the other factor then is that democratic local government was only established in 2001. So that is a clear historic question that bypassed the constitutional location of the function. So the long and the short of the point that I'm making is that there's a need for the Constitution to catch up. To catch up with the fact that while municipalities are responsible for electricity electrification, and that is it's very extremely important stream of revenue for municipalities, there's been other processes going on. And as a result, you'll see the other points I'm making around that. So there's a need to look at a new role reconfiguration. It sits with the whole question that the panel is also talking about, is the restructuring of the electricity distribution, articulation distribution industry. So there's a need to relook at that, that the whole industry is structured. The next point, importantly, is the economic and fiscal sustainability to both municipalities and ESCOM. And in this instance, there are issues related to local municipality and district municipality. In another forum, I raised the point on with my other hat about the sustainability, but also the drain on the fiscus of certain districts, district municipalities and local municipalities. But one needs to look at that. So for both these institutions, rather for the ones we have government, which is local government, through SALGA, and for ESCOM, which is an agent of the national government, economic and fiscal sustainability is critical. The third point is that what we starting to, one of our observations, as I mentioned earlier, there's a need to start re-looking at the Constitution, especially that particular functional area. Look at the subsidiary legislation, and in this instance is the Electricity Regulations Act and the Systems Act, and to bring all of those closer to the practice. And it's unfortunate that we have to do that, that the train is out, the Constitution is lagging behind, and there's a number of legislation around it, and all these need to be brought into a single place. And then there are obviously court judgments that speaks to different functional areas in this. So there's a need for change. And that's part of our observations which we which we will further communicate to the minister and his colleagues. The fourth critical point is the consequence and impact of continuity and discontinuity of where the function is with regard to the mix of customers, and obviously given the 1994 decision and the infrastructure and multi-year infrastructure investments, there's a need to look at that. Now, one of our observations that we picked up is that there are opportunities to bring the two parties in particular together, but to bring the whole of government together on it, is that one of the low-hanging fruits is the whole conversation that's currently going on the finalization of draft amendment of the ESCOM licensing. Now, what we have picked up is there's a degree of getting to grips with what that service delivery agreement ought to be with regards to the amendment of the licensing. And it's got to do with the institutions. You can't take 2 years just to finalize a service delivery agreement, you know, or the content of that agreement, or the structure of that agreement, or how the pricing should work around that agreement, or how to work out the principal agent relationships around that. It's been taken 2 years to for ESCOM and SALGA and the municipalities that sits around that, close to 2 years, around 18, 19 months, just to resolve that. And in fact, when we asked the panel, which give us content, give us the structure, give us the modalities, give us the pricing factors that's in it, what is the tariff question that's raised in it, it's just an idea. So if we don't have documentation in front of us, then the service delivery agreement as a way of bringing the parties together as an interim measure is just an idea. Now you know what happens with ideas. Idea will remain an idea if nothing is on the table to run with it. And then there's the whole question of the issue about the pricing policy, which is a critical matter, which in one way or the other finds its connections to I wrote 7 points, or the minister said 6 points, but let me stick to that, to the minister's 6 points that you raised, so that the whole pricing policy find a connection to that. So there's a thing that I think if we get given the opportunity and further work on helping with that particular low-hanging fruit which we see in terms of doing an interim arrangement, that we'll strongly argue that the shareholder, which is the cabinet and the appropriate ministers, actually get into this and force these institutions to resolve these matters. The last point which we thought important is the multi-layers, classical, structural disjunctures in governance, leadership and management, including ethical flow, follow-through on agreements on the electricity certification distribution networks. As I explained to the minister the other night, is that there seems to be, depending on who interacts, and it's probably got to do with the historic questions that has developed over time, there seems to be an institutional stubbornness at times, depending who you talk to, depending on what the issue is, depending about not wanting to cooperate with one another, to an institutional arrogance, where the emboldenedness of a strong fiscal base or strong base relative to what others don't have. It's almost like a sometimes a Goliath and David thing, and in that you're actually losing the public interest and the public value matter. And part of that seems to be, on the one end, got to do with the connection of the credit rating of Eskom, which is integrally linked to the sovereign rating of the country. Now, that's a clear structural issue which we can't undermine. It's a powerful argument that needs to be looked at, because investors are looking at the thing quite so differently to how we do. And then there's obviously the constitutional element to it, which is the stance that Sahag had taken on. So those were some of the observations that we've picked up. So I'm the panel members and I, we're quite happy and excited that this matter has got the political executive clout to it, to be able to just to deal with these matters, because clearly the pricing issue is a problem, and then it's also got to do with the transfer issue around the fiscal instruments, and whether the fiscal instruments are able to pull municipalities out of this. But clearly, as the minister said, that some of these municipalities will never get out of it. Because if you don't have the economic and fiscal base, if you don't have the tax base in a municipality, it's actually hard to see how you can get out of that hole. So these are the matters, other than the other parts of the report, which is just a demonstration that things are happening. These are the matters that are critical. And we see, obviously, these in the context of the 6 points that the minister has raised to move forward on it. It is quite hard at times, but we're getting there. We're getting there. By hook or by crook, we need to get there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Prof. Well, there we are, comrades. Comrades may want clarity on, or issues that we may wish to raise to the minister and his team. Okay? Start here and go linear, straight line.
Okay, thank you. I'll be extremely brief. Chair, yesterday was a very good engagement. I think it was also a milestone in the scope of its history, because it was the first time that we had municipalities appear before us, which I think is very, very important in the story of accountability of Parliament here in the Fifth Parliament, and I think that's very important. And, of course, it's a two-edged sword, because, you know, municipalities are now held to account like they never have been before, but also they can tell these stories. So you take, I suppose, from their point of view, you take the good and the bad. See, what was evident, however, is that there is no ways with 10 municipalities in one room, and having spent most of the morning on presentations, that we could ever really get to grips with the nitty-gritty of the municipalities in an afternoon session. The reason I say that is that this sort of problem doesn't develop in one incident or in 1 month or one fiscal year. It develops over a long period of time. So I know that the IMTT is going to be looking at the possibility of, as the minister said, working out the financial packages, working out the way this works, looking at duplicate, etc., etc., etc. But the point of view that I want to just drive home from my point of view, but I believe it is supported by many of my colleagues, is that if a municipality is given some sort of a financial package, a financial bailout, in order to assist them from the suffocation that they currently experience, there has to be a consequence related to that. If the Reserve Bank bails out a bank, they bring in judicial management. You cannot leave the same management that got you into this position in place. Or at the very least, they need to be supervised, placed in intensive care. So I would like the IMTT just to consider very carefully in their in what they in their negotiations what they come up with is that municipalities that are going to get bailed or receive preferential packages are going to be assisted heavily financially, that a strong focus is based on who's going to oversee that municipality in the future. Are we going to ask for forensic investigations, as has happened in some of the places like Tabachu and others, to make sure that we get to the bottom of how we got there, and not just an acceptance of, well, we're here, let's sort it out, let's move on. The persons, this is the house of accountability where we are. The persons responsible must account for that. And even if that involves those municipalities coming back to Scopa, and we can spend an entire session with them, just them, and go through their financials and make recommendations after that, and not a hurried, scurried thing like yesterday where we had to literally pick some small items from each municipality. I just really would like to see the IMTT come back with something like that, saying if we're going to help a municipality, then we want insight into what got us there, and to include Scopa in that process, and perhaps, if required, to include forensic investigations into that process as well. So make sure that those who got us there are held accountable. Thank you, Chair. That's the only comment I wanted to make.
Okay, Comrade Boy.
Chair, I think we should take note of what the IMTT has asked on page 49, that Scopa should note the progress of the electricity constitutional market between Eskom and the municipalities, and rather take that position and allow them to do more work on the matter itself before we look for consequences. I don't think at this moment we should start blaming people. We can't blame the municipality, we can't blame Eskom. We should rather find a solution to the problem itself. And then when we're at that level, we'll come back and relook at the problem itself if it does have individuals to be blamed. For me, one thing that the council has been very emphatic about is the socio-economic conditions they are faced with. And it's not capital driven, it's a reality. And the problem with Eskom is capital driven because it wants their money. And until government in itself clarifies its own position in terms of policy, we'll be far better than where we are at this particular moment. We haven't been able to relate to those councils in the manner of their own development. Because one of the things that I don't pick up in these presentations, which they made, is that there's new developments that are taking place within their areas. New housing schemes are taking up, and the solution that has been provided of now, or the demand of Eskom now, doesn't accommodate those developments. Very soon, it's going to force many of us to go back to the drawing board and say, there's new houses that have been built, there's new electricity demand and water, what do we do? And I don't get that sense here, Honorable Minister, that into the future, what is the expectations and what do we put on the shoulders of the councillors for them to be able to deal with that particular environment? So that's why I'm saying to the committee, let's note the development now, and then later when the IMTT has polished its positions, we come back and start with the IMTT and see what they've agreed upon, and then you go back to the local government and re-engage them on the basis of a clarity. I mean, they've done a lot of good research at the IMTT. I'm very impressed. But let's wait for them to finalize their position, and we can integrate it at that level and assist the local government at that level without soliciting punishment. We should be able to also clarify our policy in a more acceptable manner. And I think the IMTT is on the correct path at this particular moment. It's giving us more clarity on the issues that are confronting us.
Right, Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was going to go different ways altogether. I know comrades that spoke before me, they went to the conclusion part and the concluding part. But I had a different way, because I wanted us to discuss. The reason why we're here today is for us to come and discuss this report. The report from the IMPT. And to actually come, because like you said, when we started, you said we've heard from Eskom. Yesterday we heard from the municipalities that are owning Eskom. Today we were meeting IMTT and actually have a sense of saying, as a country, all of us, are we on the same track to actually deal with the problems that we have? And I don't feel that sense. I'm very sorry. I'm not negative at all. But also, adding to what I've just said now, I thought we're also going to have a bite from NERSA. I'm not sure if there's anybody who said they were from NERSA here. Because there were a lot of questions that were asked yesterday. You know, my problem, Chairperson, is for somebody sitting in the meeting, taking notes and coming present those notes to us today. The most important thing is for us to feel that everybody is at work and dealing with the problems that are there. The challenges are very serious. For instance, the lady from, I forgot your name. Did you say you are Lerato? Yes. Oh, that's my daughter's name is Lerato, so I won't forget you. Lerato, presentation, you know, she was very positive, but the whole thing is that what the municipalities were reporting yesterday is exactly not what you are reporting on. Because if they had the clarities that you are clarifying the committee today on, they wouldn't be complaining the way they were complaining yesterday. For this, let's talk about the interest. You said it's 2.5, prime plus 2.5, and there's 30 days. Do you think all of them would have complained about that if they had that communication? So you might be meeting together as IMTT, as officials level, but there's no communication at all. Then it means we are back to square one. They'll be doing something else, you are doing something else, and it's not meeting in the middle. And our main thing as COPA, we want you to meet in the middle and actually saying all of you are communicating. There's progress. Not progress because you can come and present here. We don't want that kind of progress is not necessary. It's not going to take our country forward. What will take the country forward is actually to be saying, yes, ESCOM is in one room, municipalities are in one room. Everybody that you said in page 5 are all your stakeholders. Should I say stakeholders? Should have been in one room. I don't feel that sense. And my first question would be, why is NERSA not part of these stakeholders? Chairperson, you have allowed me to ask questions the way I had prepared them.
Let's take the one on your fundamental question is NERSA. Why is NERSA not part of the
stakeholders? Mm. Because one of the things that municipalities complained about was the licensing of who is supposed to be distributing electricity. So I would think that there would have been a real part.
Right.
Of those stakeholders.
It's fine. Why is NERSA not part of the stakeholders, or at what point is NERSA going to be part of the process?
Then, Chairperson, NERSA is part of the whole IMTT team. I'm not sure about presentation to your committee, but insofar as our IMTT stands, NERSA is part of it. We can't ask them to present now. We didn't ask them to prepare. But if independently you want them, that's a separate matter. They've sat with this panel already, and they've gone through quite a number of issues. So I think when we talk about everyone being in one room, actually, honorable member, everybody is in one room, actually. When you talk about municipalities, there's so many that, oh, we just picked out the 10, top 10. But there's so many, oh, you can't have everyone in that meeting. That's why we have SALCA. SALCA represents the entirety of the issues that come from municipalities. So we don't feel that there's anyone who's disadvantaged. The issue you're raising is interesting, actually, about why were the municipalities yesterday still complaining about ESCOM. It's because it's still the same problem. It hasn't changed. And the reason, when we talk about the debt trap, that's where they are. So you, if they're in a debt trap, you can give them 2.5%, you can say pay tomorrow, it doesn't change. When they raise the issue with the committee, they're saying we're drowning. And we said to the committee, they are drowning. Yes, ESCOM's prepared to concede on a number of areas, and these are the examples given by Lerato. They are not about this is now everything solved. That's why I said the ESCOPA came in the middle of a process. We have not come to the conclusion. So when you talk about the 2.5%, we've been quite firm on ESCOM to say they had to change. They came and changed. I made an example. I made an example in the IMTT meeting that unfortunately ESCOM's 2.5% like, sounds like going to a shop and you want to buy a pair of trousers that was built at 2,000 rands. And they said, no, actually we're now selling it for 1,200. So you can claim the difference and the benefit only if you've got the 1,200. You can't say if they haven't offered, but you are not offering something to someone who can deal with it. You understand? We don't have to go into those nitty-gritty of the committee discussions because that's going to take you into, you basically have to come into the committee. They have raised the issue why they're putting their things like that. We agree, we disagree. They have indicated that, for example, the 15-day payment, they have actually extended it to one month. But you can only claim it if you had money to pay that time. If you didn't have and you still had another debt, it's going to compound back again, so it doesn't make a difference. That's the point at which I say the debt has to be restructured. And I say all the principles that have to come into it, considering the interest itself.
All right.
So it's a number of issues.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think on the NERSA issue, on your page 5 of the list of the stakeholders, NERSA is not there. I think that's why she was raised.
It's a mistake.
All right. No, that's fine.
Thanks for clarifying, Chairperson. I wanted to clarify. Minister, you are saying exactly what you have agreed on, what you have just said now. All I'm saying is that the municipalities, the ESCOM came before the municipalities were there yesterday, and they gave us a presentation of all the municipalities that owe them. So we know that. So the reason why we as the committee said, we said, let's concentrate on the top 10 as the committee and actually look at their problems, you know, the problems that they have, and we had that meeting yesterday. So what I'm saying is that all of them, the 10 of them, when they were presenting yesterday, including the mayor behind you, when they were presenting yesterday, they were all complaining of prime plus 5. So I'm saying if this communication had gone through, I think somebody would have said, even though from the IMTT they have agreed that we are going to reduce the interest, then it's something else. So what I'm trying to emphasize here today is that if the communication, the report that Lerato is giving us today, if it was communicated to the municipalities, I think we would have had a different case. even though they are in, yes, they are in serious problems. We understand that. We go to our constituencies. We understand the problem very well. But the other thing, Chairperson, on page 24, when the presentation talks to the demand, it's one of those things that are really problematic because I'll make an example of Welcome. That's where I come from. Welcome is an urban area. You would have people coming from outside rural areas coming to Welcome. And you can plan today for electricity demand, but the people will come in with mikuku and build everywhere where they want to build. So it becomes, so I'm just saying that when you talk about that demand, also you should keep in mind that there's this influx. Whether you can talk about demand that this is how we're going to plan the whole thing, but the influx that's coming into the urban areas is also a problem. So I'm just saying that as you meet as the INCT, when you talk about those demands, you should keep that in mind that it's also difficult. But one thing that was emphasized again yesterday, Chairperson, to the minister was that a lot of municipalities were saying that they prefer prepaid meters, because prepaid, then it means not everybody is going to be subsidized. At this point, what government is giving to each and every municipality as a subsidy, then it's given even to foreigners. We were told that in one of the cities, 40% of the population were foreigners of that particular municipality. So if we don't emphasize the prepaid, and I thought that it was one of the things that we have talked about. So I didn't hear Lerato talking about those particular problems. Maybe do you want to comment on that? Okay. Or should I just carry on my question?
I would like her to carry on, because the issues you are raising, which are raised by municipalities, are supposed to be presented at the IMTT by SAUDA. Yes. What there is a problem. How is the political leadership intervening to solve that problem? I think that's the fundamental question. Continue, comrade.
The coordination, which I think in the last parliament, that's what we fought for, Chairperson, that the government, our government is already delivering a lot of services to the whole country. But the main thing is that the way it's delivered, it doesn't get into people well, because coordination. Somebody, you will come and say, the Department of Human Settlements will be saying, we are going to build 20 houses. Roads says, we have budgeted this much for roads. And health will say, we're building hospitals, so many hospitals. The problem is when it comes to coordination and it comes to the planning part. I'm trying to emphasize that, you know, the Department of Planning and Monitoring, Chairperson, should be playing that role so that it can also help the municipalities in terms of planning. Because, we have a lot of backlog of houses. So the more houses that we are going to build, there will be more demand of electricity. And it means the problem that we're talking about will be going to the same, will be, complaining about the same thing year in, year after. So it's important that we take that into cognizance. I've read your report, and I was hoping that we'll get into details instead of summarizing it to page 21, which was talking to everybody who came on board in terms of this problem that we have in South Africa. And I hope, I'm not sure, maybe comrades are really in a hurry today. It's not the same committee that we have when we deal with the all the issues that we want to deal with. We want to deal with pricing, because it's a problem, pricing of electricity. And now it talks to ESCOM itself as an entity. how are they pricing and the cost of coal, because that's where it comes from. The cost of coal, we need to deal with that. The cost of coal, because at the end of the day, it affects the consumers of electricity. The businesses, and we should also check if the businesses are also, yes, we should also check at the way the businesses are being built. Are they built as your consumers that are there? Because if we're saying we want to deal with the debt of Eskom, and there will be some monies that will be written off, it should be for the communities, not for businesses, not for people who are not supposed to be getting those services for free. So I'm saying, Chairperson, these are all the things that you need to look at, and I really have a feel that maybe the IMTT, when we come back again, not in August, maybe in September, just to get progress reports on what's happening in terms of all the problems that they've laid out, because we've heard from municipalities, we heard what the president, what the minister is saying. So we need to come up with a program of action, and I don't feel that there's any program of action. If they have, if they can also give it to us, so that as Parliament, because that's what we are paid to do, we need to monitor those progress and make sure that at the end of the day, South Africans out there, they really get the services that they need to be getting. Thanks, Chair.
All right, thanks. It is not compulsory, but let me give Comrade Kekana.
Just on a point of order, Chair. Just defend us from here. We never pushed it. Just caution them. We never said we want to stop the meeting.
That's fine.
Yeah, we have opinions.
All right. That's okay. Comrade Kekane, Comrade Shulan, is your hand up? Ross, is your hand up?
I don't want to say this is what I said when we were debating this issue earlier on. You see, the problem of dealing with an interim report is that you would raise issues that the team is dealing with. And I cautioned this meeting earlier on that if you look at the recommend, that is this document from Lerato, the issues contained in this document are the issues that we know. And on the basis of that, we then said, let's meet with the IMTT for them to give us, that is, a further clarity on some of the issues. And the minister clearly indicated that unfortunately, we arrived at the middle of the process. They are still busy dealing with those issues. Now, it's going to be difficult for us to engage because, unfortunately, we don't know what recommendations will they come up with. I looked at the recommendations from the minister, or from Lerato, they're not from the minister, from Lerato. If you look at those recommendations, they are lacking, that is, the time frames. Because if the recommendations had time frames, then it would be easy for us as COPA to monitor, that is the progress. Even the one from the advisory team, it clearly gives you an indication that they are still grappling with the issues. Now, it's going to be difficult, that is, for us to engage because, to be honest, the presenter clearly said they are still navigating on issues. Now, the question is, what are we going to discuss? My view is very simple on this matter. Let's allow the team that is tired to look at the issues and let them come back to us with recommendations. But all what we need may be that is in this meeting is timelines so that we can be in a position to measure as to are we making progress on these issues or not. That would be my input.
Right. Comrade Chilwan.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's bit difficult after what Comrade Kigan has just said. But Chair, I just have about three issues that I want to raise or maybe to emphasize, as the Minister has already spoken about. I think what is critical is the review or the amending of the Electricity Act. I think it is very much important for the INTT to look upon on that issue. And probably maybe taking a cue from the meeting that we had yesterday, one of the other issues that we picked up is the problem of systems in municipalities. Financial systems are a problem. And if the IMTT, when they try to look on this issue, is that it should have a program of the system that is interrelated, that is, can talk to all the municipalities. And that will also assist in terms of your financial management. Because the other issue is that financial management in the local municipalities is a problem. And at times, the MFMA is not being complied to. The other one critical, Minister, is the issue of leadership stability, be it at the political level or at the managerial level, management. On a point where all of us, we come from municipalities before we come here, where you find that there's a manager who's at a technical level but doesn't have the required technical skills, it creates a problem. I think it's one matter that we should also look into. The third issue, Chairperson and the Minister, is the issue of money that is owed by departments, national departments and provincial departments. I think for me, it doesn't have to reside in here, because the issue of intergovernmental relations should be taken into consideration as soon as possible. Because it's not like the Department of Public Works cannot pay, doesn't have money like a municipality. I just think that we need to act urgently on that one. It shouldn't be a matter that really we take time to address it for me. So those are the issues that I wanted to raise.
Okay, thanks. Ross?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as I've indicated yesterday, Minister, what we are facing is a financial crisis in South Africa based on two issues. The first one is the liquidity and solvency issue within Eskom, and we know that Eskom needs about 54 billion rand, and then there's also the issue of extensive price increase of way above the inflation rate, which is problematic, and they're engaging in legal action with NERSA. So the Eskom crisis is definitely central to this problem, and I must say I'm disappointed that the Minister of Public Entities is not here, and I agree with my colleague Kuno that it seems that we're working in silos. I appreciate your presentation today, but I believe secondly, because it's a financial crisis, that we also need to see some political presence in terms of perhaps the Minister or Deputy Minister of Finance, and that we cannot solve it just from a cocked-up point of view. Certainly we need the three ministers to coordinate, and I know you are the chairperson of this committee, and we trust that you will then present us all our inputs to also the Minister of Public Entities and Minister of Finance. But certainly the issue of silos, operating in silos, has been continuing for a couple of years, and we would like to dispel that the impression that we get in those regards. But the second issue in terms of the financial crisis is on the audit reports, the audit outcomes of this year, where irregular expenditure increased to 28 billion rand, and that shows to direct pointed to municipalities in terms of not complying with legislation. And I can perhaps just read what the Auditor General said in that regard, Chairperson, so that the Minister can take note of this. The AG reasons for accountability failures at municipalities, he indicated that leadership inaction or inconsistent action create a culture of no consequences, often due to inadequate performance systems and processes, and we've dealt with that yesterday, but the AG indicated blatant disregard for controls, including good record keeping and compliance with key legislation, as it enabled an environment in which it would be easy to commit fraud. And that this was the opinion of the AG with regards to local government for the year. So there is indeed a financial crisis and a crisis of great proportions within municipalities and in ESCOM. And now what I found disappointing, if I can just go to the interministerial task team, we received the document today, but I would like perhaps, Professor, if you can indicate whether you're addressing this crisis, which is of immense importance, but also where time is of the essence, because we are facing the decay of civilized standards in many municipalities, and I would like to take you then to the remark that you've made, Minister, to encourage ESCOM not to disconnect municipalities. That was a pleasing remark, but I didn't find it echoed in the interministerial task team within the rights of paying consumers and what options they have. Now, what we've seen today, what was presented, is that these businesses, and also it's not only businesses, but ordinary South Africans who pay their bills, then revert to legal action in terms of a class action. What else can people do when you pay your electricity account, your water and your lights, and you receive then a notification from ESCOM? And I believe this is an indictment on ESCOM, and it needs to be addressed urgently, that you must explain in terms of a notification to ESCOM why they should not terminate your power. Is that reasonable? Is that acceptable? Has that been addressed in the interministerial task team? I don't find it yet, Professor. I find that there's an historic overview, but there's no urgency in terms of the interministerial task team to address the current financial crisis that these municipalities are facing, and where we now see ordinary citizens once again reverting to courts to give direction because of lack of policy within these departments, and perhaps departments working in silos. Now, the issue of the constitutional mandates and inputs by both ESCOM and the municipalities, I think, I believe the interministerial task team and yourself, you've given a lot of attention to this. But I would really urge you to address the issue of only the 32 municipalities complying with their down payments agreements and the current threat of ESCOM then threatening paying consumers. What the options are there is direct supply from ESCOM, and also court actions. I don't know what else can be done in this regard. And just the latest interruption dates issued by ESCOM, and this was on the 28th of planned interruptions to South African municipalities. I think there's about 14. Currently there's another notification from ESCOM to Free State municipalities. And this is, Minister, that you need to take note of in terms of the AG report, that it's a complete collapse of municipalities to pay the bulk suppliers in the province, I believe so. That the AG says there's urgent intervention required in all the municipalities in the Free State. No exception. There's no clean audits in the Free State. And all the municipalities require intervention. And I believe only, Chairperson, the last point that I perhaps can make, in terms of the 10 defaulting municipalities, I believe it's only the tip of the iceberg. And this is a crisis of enormous proportion. That all municipalities require intervention. We see ESCOM with a liquidity problem enforcing disconnection notices on paying consumers, and I think we must come up with practical plans that is actually time-driven, as my colleagues indicated, to see how we address this impasse between ESCOM and municipalities. But certainly what we need now is financial intervention because we're facing a financial crisis. Now let me just speak quickly, Chairperson, on the financial crisis. I see with the current situation on national financial level, with the fiscus being very constrained, I don't think we can expect bailouts, and many of the colleagues have indicated bailouts, concerned mayors have issued, can't we have a bailout so that we can get to some sustainable position?
We don't know what the position is with bailouts because the Minister of Finance is not here. But what we can do, and I think where there is some remarks also from the Interministerial Task Team and yourself, is with regards to the prescription of debt. And perhaps that is a progress report that is much needed, and the time is of the essence to address this crisis, which is a financial crisis. That would be appreciated. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks, comrades. I think we should bring this engagement to a close. I think, comrades, let us be happy that we had this engagement today, because then it completes the cycle of engaging all the various levels concerned, and we have now taken it to the ultimate authority, the political leadership. And the minister is not here as the minister of COCTA, because if that was the case, it would imply that it is just a COCTA problem. But he's here as the chairperson of the Interministerial Task Team, showing that cabinet is taking up the issue, not just COCTA. And the reason we brought it here, I think I explained right at the beginning, we had not met with them. They had never sent us any correspondence to say this is what we're doing. So I think it was important for us, first and foremost, to establish a point of engagement, a starting point. So they've given us a report. This becomes the reference point going forward. And the minister indicated that, it's still work in progress. So for us, what was important was to establish that they are not dealing with this issue as a subsidiary issue, but that it must be right at the fore. It must be handled with some level of agency. I think maybe that is the point that Comrade Minister, you may need to go out here with, that we would want that this matter is addressed as urgently as possible. I think what Comrade Kekani was talking to, the issue of time frames, I would like you to talk to that, or at least to have a sense that we want some element of time frame, so that we don't have this thing going on in perpetuity. That is one. Two, and I think once you have time frames, I think it will be important to say if this matter is being addressed, then ESCOM does not have to go ahead with disruptions, because then they have the comfort that the matter is being addressed and a solution is going to be found. But if ESCOM goes ahead with interruptions because they're not being paid, it's almost like they feel they are on their own. There is no presence of government that they can feel. Or else we are dealing with what the Prof spoke about, institutional arrogance. ESCOM is a government entity. It cannot, it is not a free agent, so to speak. It is there to serve and fulfill government obligations. So I think maybe that is what we may need you to take forward out of here. If the matter is being addressed at the political level, you assist with it, then ESCOM cannot be taking unilateral actions on the side while the matter is being addressed. But I think ESCOM would also need the comfort of time frames, so you don't have this thing going on in perpetuity. But also, I think point which I think Comrade Kuno was grappling with arises in the context of the challenges with the non-payment of ESCOM is merely symptomatic.
of a bigger challenge. So whilst we are working out how do we address this specific question, I think it does say parallel to it, we need active measures that seek to address some of the political and administrative decays that are there, so that we don't bail them or we don't find a solution today. 3 years down the line, we're back to square one. And I think the point that my colleague brought us have made, even though it is at the end point, it is important to carry it right from the beginning, that it, municipalities are not just going to be assisted out of the hole they are in, and that's it. There has to be some measure of accountability. We need to know and understand how did we get here, so as to know and appreciate how not to get there again. And in that regard, accountability for municipalities is there. But I think we'll deal with that at the tail end in terms of, fine, a solution has been found, but going forward, how do we engage with the municipalities? So I think, comrades, for me, it was important that we've been given the progress report. Now we know. We know where they are, and I think Lerato's presentation was important, Comrade Giga, in one point, because it establishes to us that the IMTT is alive to all the problems, all the challenges. The fact that they are able to articulate exactly the issues that municipalities articulated means at least they are addressing the issues as they are. Otherwise, if they were dealing with issues inconsistent with what municipalities have raised, then maybe would have a problem in terms of what the ultimate solution would be. So I will hand over to you, Comrade Minister.
Minister.
No, I'm not handing over yet.
No, there's an issue that please.
Okay.
That I'll request you to include in your summary. I think Honourable Chirani came up with an important issue. The issue of government debt to municipalities. I think the minister must, as we discussed yesterday, that is a separate issue and government must deal with that issue. We know that there are problems in municipalities, ESCOM problems, but this one is direct to us, that is as government. And I think we need a separate process that is on this one.
All right, no, that's a good point. So next time when we meet, we should be able to say on this point, this is where we are. So I agree with you, comrade. What was that? So you see now you disrupted my thought process. I can't remember where I was, but yeah. Well, no, that's fine. I think maybe. One critical point is if we can have time frames, a sense, because that's equally important in giving us a sense that the matter will be resolved. But we are happy that at least there is work that is being done and there is commitment to get the work done. All right, Comrade Minister.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Your comments have been helpful, and we note you have got two groups of issues. You've got issues which are specific to the matter we're discussing. You've got issues which are broader, outside. Issue of a financial crisis, although it links here, is a much broader issue. Issue of government debt, we didn't come to table that, we're mentioning it. We can deal with it as a separate matter. Issues of misalignment and silo work, those issues, integrated planning, those are issues that are important, not specific to this matter. So I don't want to comment too much about that, just to say we note that. The issue of the, as for a slide, the only slide we can have is the one that gives you provincial debts, which are composite consumer, which is everybody inside there. Takes us a while to disaggregate it, so you will not be able to get that now. So I just want to apologize that we have given you a different formulation on the slide. The issue of time frames, we came here basically just to respond. We haven't got a very tight time frame in terms of everything, except that in the next 2 weeks we'll have an IMTC meeting to consolidate all the work. And we were hoping that within about 3 or so months we should have kind of tightened up everything to have a sense of what recommendations are, even if that's a preliminary report that gives us, you know, basics of what we think are the action lines. And then if we need to refine that, we might probably deal with it. So I think the suggestion that we will come back and report around September, we can note that, and therefore we can work on that basis. But we need to do a lot more work before that time. As Chair, I will then share that with our interministerial teams. There are a number of thorny issues which you are raising, which we are not necessarily having answers to. The issue, for example, that you are raising about foreign nationals and the way that the electricity is being distributed without indiscriminately, it's an issue that's been raised by some municipalities. In one area, a municipality said to us, there were a population of 152,000. And I said to him, you know, it's almost like you've got a separate municipality. And that's the number that we need to go into that. Part of the discussion at the PCC will also deal with the issues of migration. They are not issues that we can respond to as we speak here. The issues that the municipalities raised, the issue of the efficiency of prepaid versus the conventional thing, I raised it, and of course it's part of the issues that come to the solution. So we would then apologize to members that all the issues that I've raised don't necessarily come out in the slides, simply because they were not intended for any definitive reports. So we're just giving an approach, how we're approaching the matter. They will be presented with the recommendations at the end. So that will be the issue. The issue of ESCOM not continue with disconnections, we raised it last time, and debate was ensued, and then we actually had the minister saying, let's leave it with him, he's going to go and discuss with this ESCOM, because he wanted a bit more time with ESCOM. The fact that all the ministers are not here, I've apologized at the beginning, but it's not because of lack of commitment, I can assure you. We've actually sat through all of these issues that each one of us has got tasks to go and do, so that when we get into the committee, we actually have got further movement. So you'll pick up some of the issues, strands that are coming from different streams, simply because of that commitment. So I don't think that the members of SCOPA should doubt that in fact there's a serious commitment. We were doing this at the instruction of the Presidential Coordinating Committee, and we were not preparing that we'll be coming to report to SCOPA. So we will come at the end once the whole thing has been done. We have not discussed the issue of bailout, and the mayors have raised it every time, and I said mayors are allowed to raise the matter of bailout. It's not that it's actually on the formula of what we're looking at. I can't spend too much time talking about it. I just think that bailout will have to come from Treasury, and the guarantees for ESCOM will come from Treasury. So basically, what should ESCOM do? They should just Treasury to take the money and go and close the bills just straight like that. That's not, I don't think that's the form of the solution. I think the issue is that we must sort this issue out properly and get revenue streams, additional money that is outside the equitable share that must help the municipality. That's the formula, that's the solution we must have to mitigate. Now, the question of consequences, I don't think that those issues of consequences must wait until we have a conclusion. Our processes now are about dealing with consequences in municipalities that owe ESCOM and those that don't owe ESCOM. The issues of audit outcomes is a matter that we're dealing with. The issues of lack of capacity are issues we're dealing with. The issues of forensic investigations and criminal charges and so on we're dealing with on a continuous basis. So I think we must take it for granted that we will be ensuring that there is investigation, there is accountability on all those municipalities where we find transgressions, irrespective of where they stand with ESCOM. And so I'd like to deal with it as a specific presentation that is separate to ESCOM debt, what is going wrong in the municipalities and what investigations are done. We can do that. We've actually tabled the report to to the portfolio committee on where the investigations are. We gave them a whole file of cases that are in court as a result of the actions that are being taken by the municipalities, the provincial and national government at the different levels. So we will deal with all of those issues. And I want them to keep, I want us to keep them separate, because they are not necessarily, because all the point I was making is that it's not only ESCOM debt that you'll find there's something wrong in a municipality. There will be, you know, supply chain management rules that might have been infringed somewhere. There might be issues of political instability and so on. The issue of how did we get there is a complex issue. It's a whole menu of different issues. We can sit down and go through them, because that's what is wrong with municipality at the local government level. We've gone through that. We have identified something like 87 priority municipalities where we're interacting as combined, you know, provincial, national, COCTA and treasury, etc., to deal with them. So these are some of the issues that we can talk about in general outside the issue of ESCOM debt. So I do understand when the members are raising these issues, they're basically general issues that affect local government space. And the issue of leadership instability is a political matter. I have raised it publicly that, in fact, there's a particular engagement that we need to do to deal with those issues, because in some instances it has certain consequences to the administration, and that needs to be intervened on and so on. So I think, honorable members, the point that you have raised, we will note, as we will also table to the IMTT in our next meeting. We will then try and work as fast as possible to reach the solution. At the moment, it's work in progress, but what you have, whether it came from Lerato's presentation or Professor Blythe's presentation, is an IMTT report. So we own the whole thing. It's almost, it's not like there's different teams presenting. This is just an IMTT process that we're presenting to you. And so if there's a need to get NERSA to come, we'll pick that up. The Department of Energy is represented, NERSA is represented, so we will also raise that. But if there's a need for NERSA to present, then of course we will be happy to encourage them to do that. So the other issue that was raised, I'm sure we've addressed it, about the municipalities will continue to complain until the matter is resolved, but all the intricacies of how the debts are structured are issues that were put for the processes. So thank you very much, Chairperson. I would say that as we stand, we feel that it was a worthwhile engagement, and we'll come back and give you a report, preferably around September, so that in the meantime we'll have actually tried to deal as much as possible with the issues. It was our intention to get this matter resolved very quickly, because we think the instability of uncertainty on connection, on disconnections, and this list that's coming out, it is actually putting pressure on everyone. And people are saying, but we paid. What happened? And then, of course, it complicates the whole matter, as it were. As I said, we even asked the organized business to say, come on board and let's see what suggestions you've got. And they said, look, we've got a task team together. They'll come back and say, these are some of the suggestions they have. But we think that everybody has to put their hands on the deck to solve this problem. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Comrade Minister. I think we, from our side, try to set aside time so that maybe we could talk to the issue of municipalities in terms of financial management. Even yesterday we made a request that some of the forensic reports that were spoken to, and even those that were not spoken to, should be sent to us in the context of those discussions. So maybe we can, when we come back, we can find time so that we can come and talk just to that aspect alone, isolated from the ESCOM issue. Comrades, I wonder... Yes,
comrades. Chair, you're supposed to say it's our last day today. I just want to organize a meeting with you. But I must say also the members feel very honored when you put on your glasses. You should keep that pace up.
All right. Okay. It does make one look important. comrades, let me. Oh, what
I'm not going to put my glasses on to look important, but I think it's just proper to thank you for coordinating also local government into our sphere of addressing accountability, and I would like to thank you for the initiative. And I think, as you correctly said, we've made some progress, and I thought the Minister of Kaka had really good points in terms of addressing this, and also in terms of the urgency of the matter, and that we appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you for your efforts.
All right. No, it's fine. Comrades, thanks very much. This last 2 weeks, I think there were pressure cookers. But I think you performed very well in these last 2 weeks, then. No, I'm talking dialectically, that in relation to these last 2 weeks, your performance went two notches up. The other days, they are good, very good. But this is very, very, very good. I think that's the point I'm making. Thank you very much, comrades. Until August.
Thank you. I'm going to bring the enemy to the Now you can converse that. I'll just stand here, then tell me when you're nearby.
to through this.
Okay.
Thank you. Even me guess, I have a whole list, but then, you know, I should just pass that thing around.
Everyone in the room, I'm in everyone's side. That's why I decided that I'm not only